We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
That's not the only focus on offense. There's three more that I'm going to dive into. I'm not going to spend quite as much time on those, but we'll get into them nonetheless because they are very, very important. The first one is at wide receiver, and I think you guys all kind of know that this is an important fit thing, but what is it about the receiving core that's important this spring? There's position battles there. There's guys that got to improve their technique and things like that, but I'm going to focus on a certain aspect of it and how it impacts the team. And that aspect is you've got to learn how to win at wide receiver. I think of all the things that I look at the receiving core and, you know, is this skill set there or, you know, are they doing this? Do they have that? At the end of it, if you could really point down to what the problem was last year is you didn't have enough receivers that could win with any kind of consistency. And when I watch other top receiving cores, even if you take out like the elite players, right, that's a different deal. Like Marvin Harrison's you don't break down Ohio State and say, see, I need you guys to play like number 18. They can't. They're not that type of player. But there's other teams you can put on the film and say, man, like they don't have any first round draft picks, but boy, oh boy, those guys know how to win. They have. And what does it mean to win? It means essentially exactly what I'm talking about. It comes down to where you guys know how to win at the line. What are the techniques, the moves to win at the line? How do I win as a route runner? How do I win in space? How do I win when the ball's in the air? And this receiving core last year just did not have a lot of guys that knew how to win. Think of all the contested catch throws last year that Notre Dame's offense failed to come down with. And how oftentimes they led to interceptions. And you look at it and say, boy, this they just didn't really know how to win. And that's something that's going to have to improve in a major, major, major way next season because it's hard to, in my opinion, to go through an entire season and play the schedule that Notre Dame plays and win the kind of games that you expect Notre Dame to win if you don't have a group of guys can win when the ball's in the air. And that's just going to be a such an important part of who they are next season. And so they all kind of build together, right? And so to me, here's the task for Mike Brown. Create a better group that it can win at the line. Now, there are things Mike Denbrock can do. We broke them down last year, and he will do. And I'll have some of that in the breakdowns that I do, where they don't always have to win, right? Because there's a kind of a give and take on this. There's going to be things you're going to do where you say, hey, look, I don't need them to win on this one because I'm going to win for them with how we scheme this particular look up. But you can't do that every play. You're going to need times where I just got my guy lined up at the boundary and he's just going to have to win off the line and win down the field because we're taking this shot because they're playing cover one and we're in the left hash and the free safety is right over the ball. So he's basically on the near hash, which means I got Chris Mitchell or Jaden Greathouse or Cam Williams or KK Smith or Jaden Harrison or Jordan Faison or pick anybody. And they're Bo Collins, they're to the field and we got to take this shot. We got to take the shot and we got to win, right? So that means you win off the line. It means you stick, you're able to have a proper post-release stem to close the guy off, to get the proper leverage. And then the quarterback's got to make the right throw, but that win has to happen. Otherwise, you require your quarterback to just drop absolute dimes. And you can't ask him to do that all the time. It means, hey, this is 3rd and 7 and I'm running this dig cut right here. And we think based on game plan that this is the route that's going to get open on 3rd and 7. I got to win at the line. I got to get inside of this guy. I got to lean him back up. I got to be really sharp and crisp. I got to fly to my break point. I got to be really sharp at the top. I got to get that immediate separation to allow the quarterback to get me the ball. And then I got to read it properly to make sure I find the open hole.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
That's a lot that goes into winning. You've got to win. And then it's as simple as, hey, the ball's in the air. I got to want it more than that guy does. Far too often last year, Notre Dame's receivers didn't do that. And I've talked a lot about Rico Flores having that problem. And I've always been a very pro Tobias Merriweather guy. But here's the reality. Tobias Merriweather had two chances against Duke to make big plays. On one was contested, somewhat contested. The other one was just, it was just a little too far where you got to say, hey, man, you got to want that ball more than that. You know, Rico Flores, you got to want that ball more than that. You got to fight for that ball more than that. Jaden Greathouse or Jaden Thomas, you've got to want the ball more than that. And so to me, they didn't have the proper demeanor the last few years, really. And it wasn't just last year, but you could go back to the last couple seasons. I mean, think about this. Think about this for a second. Notre Dame's best contested catch guy in 2022. When you talk about who was the most impressive, like who had the really tough catches that you can think of, it was probably Braden Lindsay, who was like 185 pounds. I mean, you think about some of the tough catches he had last year. You talk about his ability to win at the top of routes and how often he got open. And when you look back and you're like, man, like that can't be. You're going to need some guys to be able to win a little bit more than that. And so, and of course, Michael Mayer was another one, but you're going to need guys to be able to win at a higher level and win in the big moments. And that's going to be a big key. So for Mike Brown, there's really three aspects to this. Number one is technical. And there's two aspects to the technical part. One is you've got to be better at the line. You've got to be better once you get into your route. There's a lot of, you know, proper angles. There's like the breakdown that I had yesterday. There was a play on there, and you'll have to go to the board for the full breakdown, but there's a play on there where Cincinnati's receiver is running a seam route. Notre Dame's in zone coverage. J.D. Bertrand does a great job of rerouting, gets the guy all the way outside the numbers, but the receiver knows as soon as I clear the linebacker, I got to hump it back inside to get back on my track to get so the quarterback can get me the ball, and I don't have that outside corner squeezing down and cover three on me. Notre Dame's guys last year would kind of get ridden outside and then just kind of slowly drift inside, and then the corner could close the route off and there wasn't anywhere to throw the football. And little things like that, like you've got to really understand the technique needed to win at the line, and then also the technique needed or the understanding of I've got to get back to here as I'm breaking my route, or as I'm getting into my route. You have to have guys that understand when to be sharper on top ends and when they don't need to be sharper on top ends. You know, I'm a big believer in being really crisp and really sharp, you know, whether it be with your leans, but your top end technique needs to be really crisp and really sharp. And Notre Dame's receivers were very lazy at the top ends last several years, actually. Very lazy with how they snap off their top ends. And so to me, that's an important piece to this whole conversation, because you've got to have some level of technical understanding of why this is important. And so when you look at Mike Brown, one of the goals he's going to have this season, one of the objectives he's going to have this season, is he's going to have to get his players to understand the importance of going into games with the knowing when they need to be really sharp and when they don't. Because there's times when, look, I'm facing zone. I don't have to be sharp. I have to get to my depth. I've got to come level. I've got to get to the open zone, but I don't need to necessarily like stem you out and snap it inside and break it off and do all these kind of things, because guess what? I'm playing zone. There's nobody on my hip. I don't need to do all that. I don't have a safety who I'm trying to influence right now because they're playing cover three and I'm running an inside breaking route, right? Your focus technical is more on, you know, the proper release, you know, make sure you don't get rerouted. If you do get rerouted, getting back into your proper stem and things along those lines. Those are the things that you have to focus on and understand when you need to do that and when you don't. And when you go back and you think about, like, what are some of the best moments that we've seen from Notre Dame players? We talk about Mike Denbrock, right? When you talk about Will Fuller beating Adoree Jackson in 2015, go back and watch that route. Will Fuller can't beat Adoree Jackson if he's not really fast. But watch the route. He stems Adoree Jackson up, widens him, and when he gets to the top of his route, he really sticks that outside move. He gets Will Fuller Will Fuller gets him thinking, I'm running a go, I'm running a go. He attacks his outside shoulder. You'll see it on film. You can watch the replay. You see Will Fuller go towards the outside shoulder of Adoree Jackson, which is what I always teach, and then stick him on the top. And so what happens is Adoree leans out, and kind of that one split second of thinking he's going outside is all Will Fuller needed to snap it off and break inside and beat him for a post route touchdown. Now, could Will Fuller have beaten him for a big gain without that? Possibly. But what most likely happens is Deshaun Watson or Deshaun Kizer throws a great ball. Will Fuller catches it, and it's a 45-yard gain. Okay, great, big play. But is there a guarantee that you're going to go down the field and score another touchdown? You still got 40 yards to go. That can be the difference between that. And you want another example of the opposite. Watching Notre Dame in 2019, playing USC at home. And Chase Claypool is running a post route against, I think it's Isaac Taylor Stewart. I think it's who it was going against. And he releases inside. Taylor's playing the same exact coverage that Adoree Jackson was playing. And so he's playing the post. And so Chase releases right inside of him. So Isaac Taylor Stewart just stays right on top of him. There's never an outside threat. Chase gives a half-hearted outside stick move, but there was no threat. So Isaac Taylor Stewart didn't need to lean it all outside. And then Chase kind of just drifts to the post. Now, because he's so much better than Isaac Taylor Stewart, he was able to get some initial separation. But because he never threatened the guy outside, Isaac Taylor Stewart was able to just immediately close on Chase and break up the pass. Now, the difference between the speed that Chase Claypool has relative to Isaac Taylor Stewart compared to the speed that Will Fuller has compared to Adoree Jackson is substantial, meaning Claypool was the faster player in that battle between the two, where Adoree Jackson was really fast and Will Fuller's really fast. You know, Chase Claypool was a guy that to me, you know, was when you look at on the field, 40 times are probably close, but on the field, Chase Claypool was a faster player than Isaac Taylor Stewart was. And so when you think about that play, that little bit of not having to get Isaac Taylor Stewart to at all be threatened outside allowed him to use the speed he does have, which was pretty good, to close on that route. Whereas Will Fuller was able to create that extra second of hesitation and that outside lean with Adoree Jackson, that's the difference between one plays a 75-yard touchdown and the other one gets broken up by the USC DB. Same team, same route, same coverage structure. One guy ran with sharp technique and understood, I've got to win here. And the other guy just said, I'm better than you. Well, you can be better than the other guy, but if you don't play with that urgency that I got to win here, then guess what? You're not going to make that play. Will Fuller understood, I've got to win right here. I've got to beat this guy. How do I beat him? I could just try and outrun him, but no, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to use the technique I'm taught. I'm going to attack his leverage, aiming point outside shoulder, get him to lean, stick that top end after the lean outside, stick that top end, accelerate out of your break, 75-yard touchdown compared to pass and completion. And so it's those little things that you have to understand. You'll watch Marvin Harrison on film, and there's times where he just kind of, it looks like a lazy route. Like he just kind of bends it inside, and you're like, man, it wasn't a really crisp route. And he's playing zone. He was smart enough to understand, hey, I don't have to do that route here because it's zone. I just got to get in. I got to be fast vertical, but I just got to break my route off and get into the open zone. And so when you see other times where he is sharper, and he does win because he understands, I've got to win here. And the Notre Dame receiving corps has not understood that for a long time. They haven't had that. You know, Kevin Austin struggled with this. Chase Claypool struggled with this. I think Javon McKinley is probably the best guy they had at it as an outside guy, and Avery Davis was the best guy that had that inside. But far too often, they just kind of rely on, okay, I'm running a post route here with no really thought or emphasis on how I need to win with this post route. It's not just, hey, I have a post route, but how do I got to win? Okay, I'm going against this guy. He's got, is he inside leverage, outside leverage? Is he head up? you know, based on film breakdowns, when he plays this way, okay, he's inside leverage, but he's turned inside. So that means he's going to actually bail out, or he's playing me right here, which means he's, you know, he's more head up and he's inside, which means he's probably going to stay there. And now I got to think, okay, how I'm going to win on this post route is going to be a whole lot different than how I would have if he's playing me head up or outside. Those are all aspects of it where the mental part of being a receiver comes into play. But it's the focus on your craft. And if you guys have heard me say something about the receiving core in recent years, the one thing I've said is there's just not enough focus on their craft. To me, the best receivers are guys who are obsessed over their craft. They are obsessed with footwork and winning off the line and getting to the top ends and winning this way and understand I've got to win every single snap. And to me, if they can get this group with the talent they have to be more hungry winners when it comes to the technical part of playing college football and playing wide receiver, then I think that is going to have a major impact on this offense. Because here's the deal. What does it mean? Number one, if they get to that point, it means their attitude has changed. It's no longer just going through the motions. It's now about, hey, we play with an edge. We play with an attitude. We play with, I don't just want to get open. I want to embarrass you, right? That's a big part of it is guys that really take their craft seriously aren't just looking to get a step open. They're not just looking to be able to make the catch. They want to come off the line and really smash you. I want to get you turned around. I want to be able to rewind that play in the film room on Monday and be like, watch how I had this guy. Look what I did to this guy. And that's what you want. It's an attitude. It's I take my craft seriously and I understand mentally how I need to win. And then I go carry it out because I've practiced this a million times. And so that's something Mike Brown is going to have to instill, but that's also something the players are going to have to develop. I can teach you everything I want, but if you as a player don't take pride in your craft, it doesn't matter what I teach you because now you're just doing drills just to make me happy. It's not something that you take pride in. And the Notre Dame receivers in the past haven't really done that. And that's something they need to do because that allowed them to win. So the attitude part is first, but there's more to it than that. The other factor is, and this hurt Notre Dame last year, and they've got to make sure it doesn't hurt Mike Denbrock. If Jared Parker didn't call a play that could scheme a guy open, they oftentimes didn't win. They weren't going to make plays. Because you, outside of Mitchell Evans and occasionally Jaden Greathouse, occasionally Chris Tyree, and occasionally Jordan Faison, they didn't have guys that understood how to get open and even guys that had the ability. And so what would happen was the big plays would have to be things where he'd scheme up a certain thing to get someone open. You can't do that all the time. There's a time and a place to do that, but you have to be able to call plays and say, hey, we're just going to win. One of the breakdowns I'm going to do, and it'll be up either tonight or tomorrow, is how Mike Denbrock uses motion to impact the defense. And there's a couple plays on there that result in big plays. Two of them are touchdowns against Bama, where the way he used motion and getting a guy in movement and some post-snap switch stuff impacted the defense in a way where it created big play opportunities. But you can't do that every time. If you look at a lot of the other plays that LSU had, yes, they would do things where he would scheme guys open. But there's times where, like, look, it's one versus one. They're eight in the box, two corners playing man coverage, safety in the middle of the field. He can't impact either go route. We're going to have something occupy him up the middle. We're going to send our tight end, you know, on a backside seam across his face. So he's going to be threatened. He can't get that outside ball. So it's as simple as this. You got to win. And if I'm an offensive coordinator and I don't have guys who could just win, hey, man, one-on-one, I need you to beat him on this post. I need you to beat him on this go. I need you to beat him in this situation. Then guess what? When you play the better teams in your schedule, the Texas A&Ms, the Florida State, you get into the postseason, Louisville's, you get into the postseason, you're playing the Georgias, the Michigans, the Texas teams like that. You're playing the Oregons. When you're playing those football teams, if you don't have guys that can win, it's impossible for me as an offensive coordinator to design a game plan that's going to allow us to win because of the offense. We're going to have to scrape by, and hopefully we can make enough plays. If I have guys that can win and I can scheme stuff open, that's how you have an elite offense. that's how you develop the combination to win. Because sometimes it's like, as a coordinator, I've got to be able to do this. Like Jared Parker last year did not have this in his toolbox when they were playing Ohio State and playing NC State. NC State, when they were playing Clemson, when they were playing Louisville. He did not have it in his toolbox to say, hey, look, we got a one-on-one out here. I just got to throw the go route, and we got to win here. Because every time they did that, it got picked off. It was an interception. Guys got ridden out of bounds. They just got dominated, right? They just got dominated for those things. And so you have to be able to say, hey, look, are you able to go win? Now, part of that is talent. You've got to have players can do that. But I'm sorry. I don't want to hear any excuses about that. Because between just looking outside, Chris Mitchell, Cam Williams, Deion Colsey, Jaden Greathouse, Bo Collins, Micah Gilbert, you could use Jaden Greathouse out there, KK Smith. If you can't get situations where some of those guys are winning on the outside, then that's not a talent problem. That's either a coaching problem or an attitude problem. And so to me, this comes down to when I watch Kevin Austin, for example, because here's a great question from Ball Pinch lately. He says, so are individual guys not winning caused by lack of talent or lack of development? It's lack of development. It flat out lack of development because, as I said, Kevin Austin, 6'2 plus, 4.43 in the 40-yard dash, borderline 40-yard vertical jump, he would lose all the time at the line of scrimmage. He would lose all the time on downfield throws. Good teams with good technique could knock him out of the game, right? When you look at Braden Lindsay, it wasn't until his last year that you started to see him really grow. Why? Because that was when he finally got someone to kind of work on the developmental piece, just a little bit. And it didn't take a lot with Braden Lindsay to kind of be that way. And then Braden Lindsay kind of started taking some things on his own. You look at a guy like Deion Colsey. You look at, you know, a lot of these players, like they've just not been given the tools to be successful because I don't think it's a talent problem. Have never thought it's a talent problem. It's always been, does this guy have heart? Does this guy want it? And is this guy being coached in a way that allows him to thrive? And the reality is that hasn't been the case for a long time. And that's why Javon McKinley doesn't catch a single pass until his senior year and doesn't have a breakout till year five. And part of it is him, but part of it was he wasn't being developed in a way he needed to be developed. So I think that's across the board. Now, you've got some guys coming in this year that have been developed by other people. We'll see how that goes. But at the end of the day, again, Jaden Thomas, Deion Colsey, Chris Mitchell, Cam Williams, Micah Gilbert, Jaden Greathouse, KK Smith. Am I forgetting anybody? Those are just outside guys. Then you look inside, Greathouse inside there as well. Jaden Harrison's a guy that's a 4-3 guy. Jordan Faison. There are plenty of options of guys that can win with their talent, but they've got to play because they're not so talented that they can just go out there and beat the best corner snap after snap after snap. You're going to lose some. You're going to lose some of those battles. But in the big moments, or there's at least going to be enough wins that, you know, like right now, if we're going to take 5 deep shots in the game, the difference between us winning 3 of those 5 or 2 of those 5 is a lot different than winning 1 of those 5 or none of those 5. Because even if it's just 2 of 5, that's 80 yards that we just gained. Then that impacts how you go about them. And if I can win 3 of those 5, then that completely changes the makeup of the game because I just added over 100 yards on 3 plays. And because we're just winning on the outside, even if it's just 60% of the time, it's going to change everything that you're doing. And then when you include some of the things that Mike Denbrock can then do to scheme guys open, that's going to be helpful as well because you can't rely all the time on having to scheme guys open. And you want a perfect example of that? Look at USC the last couple of years. I think Lincoln Riley is a tremendous, tremendous play designer. I mean, he's in the conversation with Sark and Lane Kiffin as far as just some of the best there is and just designing up plays to get guys open. But against Notre Dame, couldn't get away with that this past season. Against Utah the year before in the conference title game, couldn't get away with that. Got away with it in the regular season, but didn't get away with it in the postseason because in Notre Dame's case and in Utah's case, they had talent in the secondary good enough to say, hey, we're going to lock you down, and you can't beat us one-on-one. And they couldn't. They couldn't beat them one-on-one. And so you didn't have guys that could win. So you're smart enough as a defensive staff. Yeah, you're going to get your plays here and there, but we're going to largely shut you down because our dudes are better than your dudes. And so at the end of the day, talent only gets you so far. And scheme can only get you so far. You need the talent, you need the scheme, but then you need the technical proficiency, the mastering of your craft to be able to say, hey, I can win. In this situation, I can win. Mike Denbrock knew. Gave up a touchdown. He knew. First play of the game. You know they practiced. They had this on their play sheet. And why did Mike Denbrock – do you think Mike Denbrock said first play against USC in 15, hey, Will Fuller's faster than Adoree Jackson. So we're going to go out there and we're going to run this play, and Will Fuller's just going to run right by Adoree Jackson. Just going to run right by him. It's going to be a long touchdown because Adoree Jackson can't run with Will Fuller. Do you think that's what Mike Denbrock thought going into that game? No, he didn't, because he knew Adoree Jackson could run with Will Fuller about as well as anybody else. But he knew that hey, we're going to run this route, and they taught Will Fuller, because he's a receivers coach then, this is how you win on this play. Will Fuller executed that technique, and then 75-yard touchdown. So it's got to be both. It's got to be both. That's why I'm excited about Mike Brown being at Notre Dame and Mike Denbrock being at Notre Dame, because that's two guys with a proven track record of winning here. And to me, if they're able to do that, then I start feeling a lot better about what this football team can be and what this offense can be, because you're going to have the demeanor. Look, the talent's always been there. There have been years where there's significant depth problems, which meant if this guy doesn't pan out or this guy gets injured, you're in trouble. I'll give you that. But more often than not, the talent is there. You have to develop it. In 2017, I've said, well, you know, you're trying to beat Georgia with you know, Freddie Canteen and Cam Smith and Chris Fink. I'm like, yeah, it's because you had Chase Claypool and Miles Boykin sitting on the bench because you hadn't developed them. That's a you problem, not a player problem. That's a you problem. The fact that you couldn't get junior Miles Boykin and sophomore Chase Claypool coached up enough to go out and have them play in game two against Georgia, that's not a talent problem, folks. I mean, think about this. In 2017, Notre Dame's trying to beat Georgia with – you had Equanimee St. Brown, but then other than him, you had Freddie Canteen, Cam Smith, and Chris Fink were the guys getting reps in that game. They're the ones that got the – I'm going to actually pull this game up actually real quick, because I want to make my point on this one. So just give me a second, because I want to get this point across, because this is very important, because this is the difference between teams that are losing and winning these games. Imagine what Notre Dame beating Georgia – in 2017 would have meant for that football team. Imagine that. You had Chris Fink play 19 snaps. Freddie Canteen played 23 snaps. Cam Smith played 66 snaps. Equanimee St. Brown played 69 snaps. Chase Claypool played 6. Michael Young played 7. And Miles Boykin played 6. Think about that. 23 reps for Freddie Canteen, who had never done anything in Michigan except be experienced. He had 23 reps, which is almost double what Miles Boykin and Chase Claypool had combined. Chris Fink had more snaps in that game than Miles Boykin and Chase Claypool combined. Cam Smith had more snaps in that game than Miles Boykin and Chase Claypool had combined times 5. So don't tell me this is a talent problem. Miles Boykin was a junior. A year later, he was going to break out and turn himself to an NFL draft pick, third round. By the end of that year, he has a breakout performance against LSU. Chase Claypool's 2 years away from turning himself into a second-round draft pick. These are 6'4"-plus guys that ran 4.4s, and in the second game of his junior year with Miles Boykin, and in the second game of his sophomore, Chase Claypool, you couldn't have them more ready to play than Freddie Canteen, Chris Fink, and Cam Smith. That's not a knock on those guys. Those guys should have played, but they should be complimentary players. You're asking Chris Fink to go out there and win against Georgia. You're asking Cam Smith and Freddie Canteen to win on 3rd and 10 on a game-winning drive against Georgia. Why? Because you didn't develop the 6'4", 4'4", 40-inch vertical jump guys that you had on your football team. Again, is it talent or is it development? 100% development. Imagine if Notre Dame had a real receivers coach on that 2017 team. And you had senior Equanimee St. Brown, junior Miles Boykin, sophomore Chase Claypool. You had, was it junior Chris Fink plus Cam Smith and the rest of the depth. Think about this. You're telling me a real receivers coach couldn't have had those guys ready to play. What does that Georgia game they lost by 1 point look like if for 60 minutes I'm throwing St. Brown, Claypool, Boykin, and Fink at you? Think about that. Is it talent or is it development? It's development. The talent is there. Do they have the talent that LSU had in their number one and two last year? No, they don't. But in one of the clips I'm going to show on the breakdown, it's not Brian Thomas or Malik Nabers winning on this play. It's Lacy, who Notre Dame does have guys as good as him. So to me, it comes down to the players have to take pride in their craft. The coaches have to then give them the tools to then go out and become those experts in knowing how to win. That's the key. It's both. It can't just be one. It's got to be both. And so there's a player part of it that has to come into this, and then there's a coaching part. Now, the good news is Notre Dame has the kind of depth now where if this guy doesn't want to work, if this guy doesn't want to take pride in his craft, as long as these coaches are willing to say, hey, listen, you know, there's nothing guaranteed. Chris Mitchell didn't come here, I don't think, to just kind of go through the motions. But if he does, okay, fine, I'm going to play somebody else. If Jaden Thomas thinks, hey, I'm a senior, my moment's arrived, this is me, and I'm just – it's going to be given to me, he's going to get beat out. Now, fortunately, I don't think Jaden Thomas is that kind of player. I don't think Chris Mitchell is that kind of player. But if they are, or if they are doing the right things, but they get injured or something happens, the depth is such that you guys have got to be on their toes, and there's much more of a push. And that's something that I'm excited about when I look at this football team and I think about what this receiving core could be. I'm going to talk about one final piece to this offense, and this is going to come down to situational football. And situational football for me comes down to red zone and third down. Notre Dame last year ranked 24th in the nation on third down. Not bad, right? Pretty good. But here's the key. They were 30.6% success rate on third down in the games they lost. If you look at 2022, with Tommy Reese as the OC, Notre Dame ranked 13th in third down offense, but they only converted 33.3% of their third downs in their four losses. Not a coincidence. And so when you look at some of the issues LSU had last year and some of the games they lost or games they should have won more convincingly, they had some red zone woes. Now, the red zone part to me is going to kind of get taken care of itself, because there were times Mike Denbrock's trying to go double tight with a X receiver and that backside, because they just have the depth of tight end. They had a lot of injuries at tight end last year. So I think they'll be fine. So that part I think we can take care of. But to me, the red zone part is a lot about the other things. Red zone is about demeanor up front, toughness up front, physicality up front, you know, receivers knowing how to win, receivers knowing how to get open in those situations. And there's a lot of that to it. The third down part is a lot of that too. But here's what it comes down to. The spring is not important in third down and red zone from a figuring out the scheme standpoint. Here's the thing that needs to be figured out and addressed this spring. Number one, it's not so much that by the end of April, you as a coach say, hey, listen, I know my five favorite red zone third down plays. I know my five favorite red zone plays. I mean, you may have that. But that's not really the key. That's not going to determine, are we going to be good at it? What's going to be determined, the effectiveness is going to be this. Who are our clutch players? Who are guys that can win? Who are guys that can go out there and say, hey, listen, on third and five, I want the ball. Notre Dame's had that in the past. Like 2021, I thought, prior to him getting hurt, Avery Davis and Michael Mayer, between the two of them, like you were almost, I always felt good in 2021. That Notre Dame had a shot to move the chains in a big moment on third down, which is kind of interesting because they weren't actually great on third down that year. But I just kind of had that feeling because you had those guys could win. You look at 2022 with all the issues they had. You just felt like, okay, Michael Mayer on third down, they all know what's happening, but he's still going to get open and win. Or if he is covered, they're just going to throw the ball up and he's going to go make a play. Or you just felt like the offensive line in a situation is going to make a play. You kind of felt like, hey, here's our guys. Here's our clutch guys. Who is that this spring? Who's that going to be? Is it going to be one of the running backs? Is it going to be one of the tight ends or two of the tight ends, one of the receivers, two of the receivers? Who are those guys that step up this spring and say, hey, listen, coach, when it's on the line, man, it's third down, you get me the ball. You design something to allow me to have a chance to win and get open, and I'm going to do it, and you get me the rock. And so to me, that's more about what this is about, is you're developing your attitude. You're developing your culture. It's not so much about scheme as it's about who are my guys. So you want to put certain guys in situations and say, hey, you can talk the talk. Hey, coach, I want the ball in this situation. Okay, cool. Well, tomorrow's practice. We're going to go out there and we're going to work on this, and I'm going to find out. You know, so like one thing I would do if I was Mike Brown, if I had a guy that I was really trying to push, okay, I think this guy's pretty good. Every time we're going one-on-one, so hold on a second, hold on. Morrison's up. Come here. My guy that I'm trying to, hey, Deion, you go against Morrison. If I'm trying to push Deion Colsey. No. Hey, Chris Mitchell, I want to see you go against Benjamin Morrison. You know, things where you really challenge them and put them in those situations. Hey, third down, coach, let's make sure we really focus on, you know, trying to get, you know, such and such player the ball today. All right. Because I want to find out if this kid really wants it. And then, you know, on the plays that don't work, what's his demeanor like? You know, does he put his head down? Does he kind of walk by? Is it not a big deal to him? You learn a lot about those things. And then the other part is you develop an attention to detail in the spring. And the reason I say you develop it is because it has to be a focus from day one. Hey, guys, little things. Like, if I was Mike Brown, if I was Dylan McCullough and Mike Denbrock, Joe Rudolph, Gino Gadulli, like, every little thing I just would be on them about. Because if you don't focus on the importance of attention to detail now, you can't flip that switch on in August and September. It's got to be now. And a lot of times, like, yes, I can come up with scheme, but – you know, third down is attention to detail. My receiver knew the route to run. He got open, and as soon as he caught the ball, he got tackled a yard short of the line. Why? Did I teach it that way? No, I told him to push for two more yards, break that thing off, and come back. But he was so rushed thinking, I got to win, that he didn't have the attention to detail. So the effort was there. The attitude was there. I can win, but the attention to detail wasn't there. So I won, but I won a yard short of the sticks. See what I'm saying? And so, or, you know, I won on my post route. I got out of, like, hey, I'm running a post route. We call this play. I got a chance for a big play here on third and four, you know, because we're in two down territory. So we're going to take a shot to the end zone. But I make my break too soon. I make my break on the post 3 yards too soon or three steps too soon. And so by the time the quarterback gets to his drop, gets the ball out, that corner has recovered and he can now make a play. Or I'm trying to take a deeper shot. Well, actually, that's the case. I'm trying to take a deeper shot. The quarterback sits in he gets to the back, and he wants to throw it, but you're pushing your route 2 to 3 steps too deep, and now the timing of the play is off, right? You may have won, but the quarterback's now running for his life because you weren't at it. You weren't even – he didn't know that you knew the route because you weren't even at your break point yet. If you're at your break point, he sees you stick that top end, he's letting the ball go, throw it out over the middle. But if you're still running, he might think you're running a corner. Or a go, he may think you've got the route completely wrong. And so I wanted the line. I had, you know, I wanted it. My technique was there, but the attention to detail wasn't there and the play didn't work. And so to me, those are the things that are going to be a big focus for me when you look at this team in the spring. So it's getting the offensive line figured out, proper demeanor. They got to grow up fast. The receivers got to learn how to win. And you've got to start developing the proper attitude and the proper focus to thrive in situational football, in the situational parts of the football game. Third down, fourth down, red zone, sudden change, backed up, all those things. Is it's not so much about the scheme this spring. You'll be – obviously, you're putting in scheme. But it's more – because you're going to – and what I mean it's not scheme, do you understand? You're running scheme. You're calling plays. You're doing things you think are going to work. But this is the time of the year where you think we're going to focus on this. We're going to major on this, minor on this. But how the spring goes, you realize we can't really major on that right now because I was able to do this at LSU because I had Brian Thomas. I don't have Brian Thomas right now. Or I was able to do this at Notre Dame in 2015 because I had Will Fuller. I don't have Will Fuller right now. So we can't do that. But we're going to be able to do this, right? So, yes, scheme is important. But it's more so about creating – the right attitude, the right focus, the right demeanor to then implement the scheme into when you get to the fall. That's really what the spring is about. And those three areas are where I really want to see the most attention to detail for Notre Dame. So we're going to get into the defense next. But before we do, folks, do me a favor. Hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. Share this podcast. Give us a 5-star review. And I promise you, if you continue, you've been resisting my calls to get you to join the message board this entire time. I'm telling you, now is a perfect time to jump on there. I'm telling you, you're going to love the stuff we got coming up over the next few months. It's a great time to do it. It's cheap. It's still only $4.99 a month, $49.99 for a year. I promise you, you're going to love what we have to offer. Definitely want to check that out at boards.irishbreakdown.com.